Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, good morning or good afternoon or good evening, wherever you are, whether you're listening on radio or on podcast. This is His Stories. I'm Gil Michelle, and this is the main man, Mr. Kevin Michelin. And we thank you for being here with us. Why don't we just go ahead, before we get started with our special guest, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you for being so good to us, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to delve and to share into a life that has been touched and radically changed by you. Lord, we ask that this testimony would touch multiple lives, that it would change people, that someone would reconsider the direction of their life or be encouraged by the testimony shared by a guest today, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, how you doing, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, it's been a good week, to say the least. I'm a little hesitant on saying something here, but I because the Bible says, well, you know, when you fast, you're not supposed to, like, declare it or
try
and that kind of thing. But I had an incredible week of just fasting. And so there's my little trumpeting declaring that, I guess.
Yeah.
But, but it was just, I should trumpet this area because of that. I just had a great opportunity just to really experience God. And in a new, different way, and God just keeps revealing Himself more and more. And so, anyways, that's been my week, and I just got off the fast this morning, and
you were smiling pretty hard for a reason.
Oh, it's like food.
It's amazing all the whiff of food just going through town, and even you're just like,
oh my gosh,
oh my word, we're so spoiled when it comes to food in this country, and then barbecue being all over. You know, it's like,
It's all heightened now, right?
It's all heightened.
Never saw that donut place before.
Exactly. Yeah. But, man, God is so good. And the independence that we have. And that tells me something. The abundance of food we have in this country is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
When you take that away for a little bit, you go, oh, wow, how God has richly blessed us.
Yeah.
And He was just blessed me in so many other ways than that, you know, I could take the next hour, but we have a great guest.
Yeah.
How about you? What's,
it's good. Good week. Just, you know, day in the life, as our friend Chad says.
Well, you had a great, number this last Sunday, I believe.
Yeah. Had a lot of people, you know, it's so funny. I put that on Facebook. I'm like, man, 63 people walked into our church so far. You know, but to us, that's mega church.
Right.
You know, and moving from Saturday nights to Sundays has been it's been an interesting transition, and seeing the number of people that have been coming in has been amazing. Guy came to the I did an altar call this Sunday, and I had my eyes closed. I'm like, if there's anyone out there who would love to come, and I opened my eyes before I can finish my prayer or the request, a guy standing literally next to me, facing the audience, bawling, crying. I'm like. Oh, well, we'll take that. Okay. And it was just glorious to see this guy come to the Lord. I mean, man, I understand now when they say all heaven rejoices over one soul.
Yeah.
We were all just boohooing and blessing God. It was just, it's been awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's good.
Yeah.
Good
work. Good to hear it.
Yeah. But enough about us.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we get a great honor of being able to introduce to our program. And name is Tammy Chenoweth. And I've had an opportunity now to be able to hear some of your story, and we had a phone conversation not too long ago, and just to hear your love for the Lord, your love for prayer, and so I can't wait to just be quiet and hear, and we have this conversation with a woman who has a heart and a desire and a passion for God. Mm-hmm. Would you say that would be an accurate statement?
You are correct.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Maybe just kind of start out with how you, where you grew up, and we can kind of go from there, how your family was and is and all that.
All right. Well, ironically, I actually attended junior high and high school here in Mishawaka.
Did you really?
Schmucker and then Penn High School. So I'm a graduate of Penn High School. But I was actually born in Illinois, lived in Kentucky, and then my parents came here. But my mom grew up, was born and raised here in Mishawaka. My dad, when he was in elementary school, on up. So they met here at Mishawaka High School.
Wow.
Got married, went away, and ended up coming back.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, good. So you've come back here, and what was the reason? I obviously know the reason, and Gil knows the reason, but why in the world did you come back to Mishawaka area?
God brought us back here, shockingly. We lived in Illinois for 10 years, and we got a call and answered that call, and my husband is now the president of Bethel College.
Sure.
And that is what brought us back here, is that position. And it's been interesting. It's been fun to live in an area where my mom and dad live, my sister lives, and several aunts and uncles on both sides of the family and cousins that live in this area. And we've been coming in and out of here for 25 years, so now we live here,
Well, if I could take you back here just a little bit, kind of warp back again. Was there there was a time, I'm assuming in your life, we haven't talked about this, but that you did make that decision to come to the Lord. And can you just share a little bit about that and how that took place?
Sure. Well, I was raised in a Christian home, so I've always gone to church, been a good girl, I guess, I went to a Christian college, but I would say the summer after my freshman year in college is when the Lord really got a hold of me, and I allowed him to do a new work in my life, I think, because I spent my freshman year just kind of an emotional roller coaster, and not really, you see different people when you go to college, you see different ones at different walks with the Lord, and some not at all, and you're just trying to figure out, where am I in all of this? And so it was that summer that I just really committed and allowed the Lord to take control, and that's when I started having more of an intense time with him and actually using a journal and writing out my prayers and reading my Bible more and really listening and tuning in. And when I went back to school then, my sophomore year, I really made it a point to take in my backpack, along with my books for the class for the day, I took my journal, my Bible, and whatever else. And when my classes were done, instead of going right back to my dorm, I stopped at a little chapel that we had on our campus and would go there because I knew if I went back to my dorm, I'm too social, I would not do that. So I stopped there, and I just made that a priority every single day and would sit in a little pew in that chapel with looking out a window. I can see it to this day. And I would just talk to the Lord, writing out my prayers, reading the Bible, writing out some scripture, and just I really had begun a true blue relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and he just helped me to have a peace, a confidence. I wasn't really flustered very much, from then on. Wow. Where your freshman year, you just an emotional up and down and so on. And it was during those times actually that the Lord revealed to me that who my husband was going to be. And but it was one of those things that when we went out on our first date, I couldn't say, I know I'm going to marry you. had to be patient.
Right. Tammy's new book, How to Scare a Guy Away on the First Date.
But it's true. It's true.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. So.
What I love about your testimony is, it's funny, at the past couple of interviews we've had, we've been guys who were like, three times I was almost murdered, and it's and I went to jail for 10 years for murder. It's like, but the powerful thing about your testimony is it sounds like it's been a journey. And, growing up in church, it's so funny, people who grew up in church and they go, oh, I've always been a Christian all my life. And so I always get like, well, have you? But the journey that God takes people on, it doesn't always have to be this huge crisis per se. Yeah. It's just, and I like the way you identified that summer after my freshman year, it's like God got a hold of me, And so that means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And so it just sounds like things got very real after that point. Yeah. And definitely. Your relationship with the Lord became very real, for lack of a better word. You made it your own.
Right.
So that's really powerful to hear.
Right.
Yeah, it's encouraging, too, because as a dad who has, I've got a 14-year-old and now a 13-year-old, and they've grown up in the church, and it's very encouraging to go, okay, my kids don't have to go and do and mess up. Prodigal son story. It can be the story in which they're the son that truly the sons that truly believe.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's very encouraging.
Yeah. So Tammy, after you came to the Lord and you came back in your sophomore year, how did your faith grow? How what happened in your journey with the Lord from that point?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that for one thing with my journey is I had to just continue to allow the Lord to do what he wanted to do with my life, turn a lot of things over to him. You know, I went through college. We got married. I married the guy I knew I was going to marry, Greg.
Like.
Right. And I would say that then the journey became Greg, myself, and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many, you know, the Old Testament where you put the stones down, where you just knew God had done something.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done in our life. And for me personally, just I carried on that whole writing out my, you know, in my journal and writing mm-hmm. out my prayers. And then our first child came, after being married for about 3.5 years. But it was an interesting time for us even before she came, because we had been married. We got married. I'm actually a year older than him. I say I was his roommate his senior year, the best year of his life. But then once he graduated, we moved away to Michigan. We were in Illinois, went to Michigan. I actually kind of moved to the same area where he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And he was working for his dad, and we had some different things go on. And then he decided he really felt like he needed to get his master's degree. Mm-hmm. His degrees are in communications. But I was wanting to start the family, mm-hmm.
get the house.
We were in a great church where we had lots of friends, couples that were the same stage of life as us.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was a great stability. I'd moved kind of a lot as I grew up, and so I really wanted that. And I loved where
roots,
we were at. And we really battled that because I didn't really want to go. And we actually sat across the table from each other and said, why did we even marry each other? We want different things.
Mm, wow.
And we had to visit our premarital counselor, you know, again. But we really had to pray about that and persevere through it. And the first interview Greg had for a research assistantship for school fell through.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really didn't think this was going to happen, didn't want to take on the financial responsibility for that,
mm-hmm.
and jobs and my job. And there's a lot of details we don't have time for. But long story short, we thought we were staying, going to maybe wait another year. And on a Wednesday, we got a call from the school. It was Northern Illinois University. Got mm-hmm. a call, and a different woman over the phone was offering Greg a research assistantship, you know, which was paying for his school plus a stipend.
Wow.
And but the kicker was that was Wednesday. School started the following Monday.
Oh, whoa.
And we're in Michigan. So we went to our pastor that night and said, we're young. Mm-hmm. We were like 23, 24 mm-hmm. years of age, mm-hmm. you know, at that time. And went to our pastor and said, this is what's happened. And I mean, we really feel like maybe this is what God's wanting us to do, even though in my heart I'm like,
you didn't really want to,
Julie.
I know. But then I would have to say, I'm really not stupid. It's obvious that God's wanting this to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I will say, I will admit, I did say to my husband, I said, I will go. We will do this, but don't expect me to make any friends. And as soon as you're done, we're out of there.
Done.
I did not want to live.
So, in other words, you were willing.
I was willing, but it was quite the journey because even we'd been there for a couple of months. There's a whole lot of detail I could say, but while we were there, and I know, you know, God has purpose for all things. And while we were there, we'd just been there for a couple of months. My husband's father was killed in a plane crash, and we had no family, nobody around, you know. And then several months later, I did get pregnant.
Okay.
The timing, you know, of when he was going to be done with school. But then I miscarried, and that was horrible.
That's rough.
That was horrible because I wanted the child really bad.
Yeah.
And I had no signs. So it was when I was about, what I was supposed to be like almost 3 months along, you know. So it was just really a rough time. So between his dad dying and the miscarriage, we were not in a very good place. We were really searching, who is this God?
Yeah.
You know, what is he doing? Why is this happening? And Greg has his own story with all of that. Mm. But for me, it was really a struggle with it all. But the Lord is so gracious and so good, because we did end up getting pregnant again a few months later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our Abby. But and the other thing that's unbelievable with this story, because remember I didn't want to leave the place that we had gone and the church we had gone to. Greg finished his school at the end of December. He'd finished, like, it was a year and a half program, and he'd been interviewing for public relations jobs. He wanted to go to Chicago. You know, that's where we thought we were headed. And had all these different interviews, and then he gets a call from our pastor from the church we were at before, which is a fairly large church, and asking Greg if he would come back to be the youth pastor.
Okay.
No training. That's not what our plan was. Right. You know, when we went to church there, we did volunteer for the church, but that was not the plan. And long story short, we prayed. God, you know, God reminded Greg, you've said that you would do anything that I would ask of you. And and during that time, we had gone through this whole process of trying to figure out what God had been doing. So he'd moved in our heart quite a bit at that point. So my part of that is God heard my cry.
Yeah.
And he took me back.
And he took me right back to the church and to the friends that we had left.
Sorely needed.
And
just in a different capacity.
And it was just amazing. While we were there and serving, when I'm thinking about the journey, that's when I also got involved with a small prayer group of three other moms and myself. And we would meet and have our little kids playing all around us. And we would just get our prayer requests, talk and share. And then we would just pray and would record all of our prayer requests and all of our answers. And we did it every single week.
Wow.
And we just rotated, and that became a priority. And I think that for me was where I really saw how prayer unifies when it's just beyond myself. Because God was doing other things in my life before that.
I think that's a perfect segue
for
our springboard. When we come back, again, this is His Stories podcast and broadcast with Kevin Michelin and Gil Michelle. We're talking today with Tammy Chenoweth, and we are going to come back right after this break and come back and see how this little prayer group with other moms actually springboarded for other things in the area of prayer. We've been listening to her testimony, and we'll be back right after this.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenka Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
So, let me ask you, who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
And we are back with Tammy Chenoweth here on His Stories. We've been listening very intently, by the way, to her testimony.
Absolutely.
And hearing... Man, it's just everyone has their own story, and I'm just listening about how God is taking you guys through a young married couple and going back to school and then suffering through a miscarriage and a parent's a death. And now all of this, coming back to the town you'd left in a role of pastoring youth, but back to the family and friends that you knew. And so now God is doing something in the area of prayer. So, Tammy, if you could just go ahead and rejoin with that story and just tell us kind of where God took you guys from that point.
Well, I would say from that point, we were involved in a church where prayer was a part of it. It was still the time where people would gather one night of the week in a room and literally get on their knees next to the metal chairs and pray. And Greg and I, as a young couple, we would go to that because, you know, we had been raised, you go to Wednesday night church, you go to Sunday, you know, you do all of those things. But we were part of that, and it was powerful. And that's when I also led a women's Bible study on When Women Pray. I think that's the title of it, by Evelyn Christensen. It's a very old study, and I learned a lot about prayer through that. And then in our church, you know, the altar was used very frequently. And then God took us out of that situation. Oh, in the meantime, Greg also was, because, you know, he was not trained as youth minister, did not have a license. He at first, when he got there, said, don't call me youth pastor, call me youth director, because he took, you know, that's a serious role to
right.
him.
Yeah.
And as God worked in his life, he took classes that enabled him to become an ordained minister in the denomination we were in.
Uh-huh.
And so he now is a licensed ordained, you know, minister on top of other things that he is. But we ended up getting called to another position in Michigan, another area, and he was a school administrator.
Mm.
And in that church where we were at there, I'm thinking of prayer, the pastor of that church made prayer a huge priority there also.
Mm.
It affected Greg to see his pastor before staff meetings or even just going into the church and seeing his pastor weaving through the pews when it's empty and just praying for his church. But then on Sunday mornings, every single Sunday morning, there was always a time for family altar time. And it wasn't, if you have a need, just come down and pray. It was like, it was expected. I mean, people got up and just
flooded the altar.
And the pastor didn't stand at the pulpit and pray.
Mm.
He got down on his knee at the altar and prayed. And there would be another end where they would have some anointing for, you know, healing and prayers over that too. But it was that culture, that spirit of all of that, where I saw firsthand, you know, the power of that. And we also had situations where, you know, some people as a small group would gather to pray when there was an issue with a marriage. And we would gather to pray in the basement of that church and pray and pray and pray. And we prayed through until you saw God do something, you know.
Pray until something happens.
Yeah, it's push. Pray until something happens, right.
Mm.
So that was really, I mean, just life. And then for me personally, it was during those years we were there for 4.5 years that God, in my own personal life, we had a lot of great prayer time and writing and so on. And through my prayer time, I really sensed the Lord telling me, and I haven't written out in my journal, that something bizarre is going to be happening. Didn't know what that was. Like something was stirring, you know. What I mean, we loved where we lived. Once again, you know, had wonderful, great friends that we had developed there, and the church just loved it. There was no reason to be seeking something differently,
right.
you know. But
yeah.
there was a stirring, and I just had prayed. We had an event thing we were going to. Lord, if this is really of you, could you please reveal something to Greg while we are at this event, this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, as it turns out, while we were there, sure enough, is when we were going through this big venue hall, and we were saw all the different colleges, Christian colleges that were there, and we had gone to see missions, and we were walking back, and I said to Greg, I said, have you ever thought about teaching? Because at that time, he'd been interested in being maybe a professor of a college, but he thought, well, that's when he's like, you know.
Retired.
Like now, this age, right, you know, whatever, and because he'd been working then on his doctorate at the same time.
Yeah.
And I said, have you ever thought about teaching overseas? And he stopped dead in his tracks, and he said, are you serious? And I said, yeah. And he says, I would love to do that, but I would never thought you would ever want to do that because you like the stability, you know, and all of that. He's like, would you be seriously consider that? And I knew what God had been doing in my heart, and I said, yes. Long story short, we ended up in South Korea.
South Korea.
Wow. That is overseas.
In 2002. There's a whole other story behind all of that that we don't have time for, that God confirmed that was what the bizarre thing was.
Yeah, that's just what I said. That's the bizarre
thing. But I think it's the whole thing about prayer is just tuning in and allowing God to work in your life and then listening and being obedient.
Yeah.
To what he's called you to do. There's so much more I could say, but I know we're running out of time. But
well, the one thing that comes to my mind is when so many times in a person's life, when you have a devastating thing that just, you know, took place. You mentioned two devastating things that took place in your life: a miscarriage.
Well, I've actually had four.
Four.
Wow.
Pregnant seven times and three children that I have. So since then.
And wow. Yeah. Thanks for revealing that, because that is pain.
Yeah.
That is nothing but pain there.
Mm. Right.
And
that's a hard one. I did have to get to a point where I said, Lord, if you want this one too,
it's your
with tears, you know, and bawling, you know,
I've only went through one with my wife, and that rocked us. And then to go through a death with your father-in-law and your dad, and your husband's dad, that right there, I've seen some people just go off the rails at that point. But it sounds like because of your experiences with the Lord and through the power of prayer and with community, you were able to not just get through it, but it sounds like there's a strength there. A deep strength. That's encouraging.
It's
very encouraging.
I used to serve under this bishop. I lived overseas for a little bit in Ghana. And a strong prayer ministry as well. And he used to say, he said, those people who pray are always given advanced knowledge, and they deal with things differently. So you talked about this culture of prayer in the churches that you've been involved in. Let me ask you this, and then I know we are really running short on time.
There's a lot to say in the present day, too.
I know. but man, you have shared so much just in appreciation for prayer and writing down prayers and recording prayers and answers to track God's movement, just like we're doing with these testimonies. And you lived overseas. Since coming back and seeing the prayer culture in the United States, what is your feel coming from Korea, where I know it's pretty intense?
It's militant.
It's the word you said. How do you feel about when you come back to the United States and then see that there's not the same intensity?
Yeah, and you got 60 seconds.
Right. Yeah, 60 seconds to say
well,
that.
Well, I would say that I've been involved since 2009. I got involved with this huge prayer conference that's grown. It's down in Texas. That's a whole other story. They've went from 60 to now. This year there are going to be 750-plus people that are going to be at that. But there is an awakening, as we have seen, of prayer. But what I would love to see is not just these special events of prayer, like we had Franklin Graham, in Indianapolis yesterday. That's awesome. Yeah. But could you imagine if churches prayed, it was just part of their regular life, group of people, not just a small group, but it's part of the culture of the culture of the church, this is the night of prayer where we gather as a church body and cry out to the Lord and praise Him as a church body and, just share out. I've heard so many of churches that do that, and people get saved during that time.
Healed.
Yeah. I mean, those are the kind of things. I mean, if you just think about the scripture says, if my people would humble themselves, then I will heal.
Yes. And He wants to heal this land. He does.
Right. Yeah. Right. So,
The time. It's going. It goes so fast.
It does.
Tammy, if you would, please tell the listening audience how they can maybe get in contact with you. You've talked about a number of prayer movements, and maybe if people want to just contact you or learn more about prayer or contact you to follow up, how could they do that?
You could email me.
Great.
tammy.chenoweth@bethelcollege.edu.
Okay.
And that's C-H-E-N as in Nancy, O-W-E-T-H.
Okay.
With that.
Okay. So. Well, very good. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate you sharing your story here with the His Stories audience.
Absolutely.
And as usual, if you would like to contact us, here is His Stories. Where our Facebook page is His Stories Broadcast, or you can go to HisStoriesBroadcast.com or HisStoriesPodcast.com. We strongly encourage you to subscribe to iTunes and tell your friends and your enemies to do likewise. And with that, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Yeah. Father, we thank you for being faithful. Lord, we are so blessed to hear what you're doing. It seems like we just scratched the surface of what you're doing in Tammy's life and in this movement of prayer. So, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would stir up a culture of prayer among the body of Christ here in the United States and in the church. Mm-hmm. Lord, we want to be able to seek your faith. You said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then and turn from the wicked ways, seek your face, you would hear from heaven and heal our land. Mm-hmm. And Lord, our land needs healing.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, we thank you. We bless each and every one. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You make us strong. Alone without you.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories. So drop us a line at HisStoriesBroadcast.com. That's HisStoriesBroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.